Hi, this is Richard Wentworth from Hadron Gospel Hour, and you are listening to
the Audio Drama Production Podcast.
Welcome to the Audio Drama Production Podcast. We're all about writing, editing, composing, acting, you name it. If it's to do with audio drama, you'll find it here. Our website is audiodramaproduction.com. So, what's on this very episode? We have contributions from Brian Lincoln and Fiona Thrail. Some of you may know Brian Lincoln from the wonderful Hidden Harbour Mysteries. He's got a great piece for you coming up, all to do with the inner voice. But first, a troubling issue. As some of you know, I recently put out a casting call for a story set in Valenhai, our fantasy anthology, and without even realising it, I'd cast most of the characters as men. Now, I swear that wasn't deliberate, even though in retrospect, most of the characters could easily have been women. So, I turned to Fiona Thrail. Fiona's been involved in the past with the well-known production house Darker Projects, and more recently Cooperantum. She's done a dozen or more voices for Yap Audio, including a nefarious spy from another world and a massively right-wing Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. A fictional character, obviously. Oh, and she even played Rapunzel for us, because she's just that good. So I asked Fiona this. Does sexism exist in audio drama?
First of all, thanks ever so much, Robert and Matthew, for allowing me onto your podcast to chat about women in audio drama. I listened to your last episode where you were talking about women's roles in it and in the writing. It was very interesting. So I've done a bit of research and hopefully can have a bit more of a look at it. First of all, does sexism exist in audio drama and how? Well, I think that really breaks down into two parts. There's a community, and then there's the actual audio dramas that we release. In the community side, and I'm only speaking as one person here, so it would be a really interesting question to put to all the other women out there. Have they experienced any kind of sexism? Personally, I genuinely haven't, actually. And in learning quite technical stuff as well, you know, if you put a question up about using a DAW, you will get replies from both men who know what they're talking about and women who know what they're talking about as well. And so I think if you want to produce audio drama, I found it to be a very egalitarian environment in that way. I mean, have I had arguments with people whose opinions I think are really sexist in terms of characters and things? Yeah, of course I have. But in terms of actually doing stuff, no, it's never come into it. But like I say, I'm not representative of everybody, and, you know, other people have different experiences. Looking at some statistics, first of all, I went to Audio Drama Auditions Group, which is a general one which accepts auditions from all of the production companies, so there's no kind of slant towards one or another. And I went back from January 2015 until the present date, hand counting the roles that have come up. Now, bear in mind, these are just the roles that have gone to open auditions. Many of them were for Doctor Who's, for example, which had a male Doctor Who. So, you know, it doesn't actually represent all the roles in audio dramas at the moment. But in the ones from January till now, there were 27 male roles, main roles, 36 female main roles, although 14 of those came from the same production, and that is quite rare, so it might be a slight anomaly. And there was one non-gender specific. In small roles, 18 male, 13 female, and 12 either or other. So, in fact, in terms of actual casting, it does actually look fairly equal, which is interesting. And in terms of how many women there are actually wanting parts in plays, in Audio Drama Auditions membership, again, I hand counted them. These are people who are presenting as female, as far as I can tell, from their photos and names and how Facebook refers to them. 195 out of 512 members are female. So it's almost equal, again, in terms of women. Women in audio drama has 275 members, although not all of those are women. We're completely open to anybody joining. But it certainly shows that, in fact, very much like the real world, there are as many, well, almost as many women involved in audio drama as there are men, which really comes back to the next point. One of the questions was, does sexism exist in audio drama, and is society to blame? In a way, I think that there is slightly more equality in audio drama due to society, because the internet obviously happened quite late on. So this is a very new genre. I know there was old time radio before, but this is, in its own right, internet audio drama is quite a new thing. If you do look at Hollywood in comparison to our audio world, according to the Gina Davis Institute, only 30.9% of speaking characters are female. Obviously, that would cause a real problem in audio drama because you just wouldn't hear them, so that would mean a third of the characters were female. That would be it. Which is possibly, again, why you do have more women characters. In Hollywood, there is quite a big issue with underrepresentation of women. Of 1,452 filmmakers, 20.5% were women. Only 7% were directors. 19.5% were writers. And 22.7% were producers. In the UK, actually, 27.3% women were directors and 58.8% were writers. So we've got a lot better record there. But I think, and I haven't got the figures for this, we really could do with someone who did a big, big statistical study, but I'm pretty sure that more than 7% of our audio dramas are directed by women. I can certainly think of a lot of women who do audio. I won't mention anyone because I don't want to miss anyone out, but there are a lot of women who are doing audio, who are producing it themselves, who are writing it themselves. Not to mention acting in it, of course. Another question that's come up is, do we overcompensate by creating superwoman characters? I think that can happen. There are a lot of kick-ass kind of women in audio. However, I think the most important thing is actually something called the Smurfette principle. It's a thing that was first coined by Katha Pollitt, and she wrote at the time, boys define the group, its story, and its code of values, and girls exist only in relation to boys. And this is looking at a lot of stories. In fact, you mentioned in your last podcast, The Jungle Book. If you look at that, I mean, I loved that story as a child, absolutely loved it. But in the jungle, there are no female animals as far as I can think of. There's a woman right at the end who destroys Mowgli's life by coming in for the last half a minute and leading him away from all his male friends. But it's all boys. In the same way, Winnie the Pooh is all boy characters, apart from you have Kanga as a mother who comes in. But again, really tiny role, and it's one woman, one female character, not interacting with any other females. In Robin Hood, you have Maid Marian as the one female character. In The Avengers, you have Black Widow as the one female character. I know there are a couple of others, but generally speaking, I think that is more of an issue of, and this comes actually back to, and I know this is treacherous ground, but the Bechdel principle of, does a film have two female characters who actually have a conversation without it being about another male character, so it's not two of them sort of mooning over the same man or something, but have a normal conversation. And while the Bechdel principle, you know, doesn't necessarily mean a perfect film or anything like that, it's such a normal part of life. Maybe it's being a woman myself, but, you know, whenever you go into a workplace or you go into any public area, there are always women there. There are always women having conversations with women, like, oh, what's the time? I don't know. There's a clock over there. just something like that, which very, very often does not happen. And I would say if you were looking at writing and making writing more inclusive of women, then just putting in a scene where two women talk makes a massive difference, a massive, massive difference. And certainly when I watch films, if I see a scene where two women talk, I have an inner cheer because it's so rare. You know, it doesn't have to be like that. And I know people say, oh, you know, but what about if I want to write a thing about men in a submarine all by themselves? You know, that the story has to be about men and women just aren't involved. And, you know, fine, that's absolutely fine. But you could also ask yourself, is there a reason why you're keen to write a story where you are only looking at one part of humanity and you're missing out masses of other parts of humanity? It's fine, and it's maybe you do want to look at, you know, male relationships and how they work and all that kind of thing. But when it's so normal for men to be the ones who are leading the story, you can kind of get caught up in that. And I do the same with my own writing. You know, if I think, okay, I want to write about a bank heist, for example, and I know that the characters have to get into the bank and they've got to take something and blah, blah, blah. My initial thought, if I think of bank robbers, is, oh, well, it's going to be a man who's going to be leading it and maybe he'll have a side. And I actually have to stop and think, hang on, do they have to be male? This has happened to me more than one time because I really love adventure stories and I love writing adventures. And my initial instinct, almost always, is to think of a man. Because when I was a little girl growing up and watching cinema and watching, reading books and things, most of the time, it was a boy who did it. And I remember as a child wishing I was a boy because they were the ones who had adventures. And now having my own daughter, I don't want her to feel that way. I want her to look and see female adventurers alongside male adventurers. So the other trap that happens is if you have a female leading something, if you have more than one other female with them, it suddenly becomes a chick movie for girls, which, again, it doesn't have to be. You know, if you look at some of the really good TV series, particularly comedies actually seem to do quite well at this, something like Parks and Recreation, that's fantastic because it's full of really good male characters and really good female characters, and they're all interacting and they're all bouncing off each other, and it's really nicely done as a comedy but also as kind of a drama as well. In Buffy the Vampire Slayer, obviously, you've got the main character, but she is not only surrounded by boys, she's surrounded by, again, a group of mixed people of different genders and what have you. It's not only women, of course, who get left out from being represented, and it would be good to have equality so that there's more representation of people from different ethnic minorities, people from different nationalities, people with different disabilities or abilities. And in a way, audio is a perfect vehicle for that because it's really good to have people with different vocal patterns, with different accents and so on. So it's not a question so much of avoiding superwomen characters. It's more looking at society. In fact, the Gina Davis Institute says, adding girls and women to stories means conceptualising a fictional world that looks startlingly like the one we inhabit. And that's really all it is. The next question that came up was, do we lazily recreate male characters and just turn them into women with no discernible difference? I think it was Matthew in that conversation who said, well, what difference is there? And to be honest, I'd agree with him totally there. I'm sure everyone, I mean, we're talking about 50% or more of the population here. Everyone must know you know, loads of women who are completely radically different and who do an incredible range of jobs and have completely different personalities and so on, just as much as male characters. And to be honest, I would say if you're having trouble thinking about, oh, how do I write a female character? If you're really not sure, just write them as a male one and change the name. I honestly don't think it's a big issue. I think if you go back to the bank heist, if you're a woman looking at the bank heist, you were there to get the money out of the bank. You would then use whatever strengths or whatever you have, but your goal is just to get the money. In the same way, if you're a man doing it, your goal is to get the money. And again, you would use whatever strengths or weaknesses you had. Again, I don't want to speak for all women, but as a woman, I don't go about my business each day saying, oh, well, I'm a woman, so this is my take on things. I just do whatever the goal is that I have to do that day. The difference, I think, might come in how some other characters might respond to them. So while they're doing the bank heist, there might be someone there who is sexist, who will make sexist comments to the woman doing the bank heist, or someone who's racist being racist to someone. But the actual integral person themselves that you're writing is just as goal-orientated. They're not usually bound up in what they're presenting as most of the time. So ignore that side of things. Give them character traits and quirks and whatever as normal. But don't worry about whether they're male or female. It really doesn't come into it most of the time, 99.99% of the time. So in conclusion, I would say, sure, I mean, write whatever you want to write. But if you are inclusive, you'll probably find that there will be people who will be very happy about that. And it will be a really lovely thing because the people listening, you know, stories shape our world and we can become what we hear and see in stories. And, you know, if you think of yourself as a child listening to the radio and imagining everything, if everything is all biased in favour of one gender, it just distorts everything. It's unnecessary. Whereas if you make it a bit wider, just reconsider your characters and whether they could be a different gender, a different colour, a different nationality, have different kind of experiences of life, then you're opening up that world and you're making it a friendlier place for everyone and giving a piece of something for everyone to kind of spark their imaginations and their ambitions and so on and their dreams. And that's a wonderful thing to do. If you are interested in this kind of thing and you want to know more, I'll give some links to Matthew and Robert. If you are a woman who's listening and you're not part of Women in Audio Drama, then do feel free to go along to the Facebook group and join up. And again, you don't have to be a woman. If you're a man or anyone else, then you can also join it if you're interested in the subject. And thank you very much. I am no way an expert on this, but, you know, I've just done a bit of reading and I'm sure there are lots of people out there who know a lot more about this than me. So if you do, please contact Robert and Matthew and let them know what you think too. Thank you very, very much. Cheers.
Big thanks to Fiona there, and I'll put all links mentioned in the show notes over at audiodramaproduction.com. Now, I just want to quickly pose the question, what do you do when your show has too many downloads? Well, that all depends on where you host your audio files. We'll want to have our shows heard as far and wide as possible, but we made a big mistake back in 2011 when we chose our media hosting platform for our audio drama series Aftermath. Essentially, this was because we were completely new to podcasting, we didn't know anything and didn't do any research. So what happened? Well, we paid a small one-off fee to our media host, and as far as we were concerned, that was it, and that it would be free from then on. And that was the case until late last year when Aftermath started to accumulate more downloads. Basically, the more episodes you have, the more overall downloads you'll get. So this was always going to happen eventually. With Aftermath, we're allowed 25 gigs worth of downloads per month. Once that's been exceeded, and that happens almost every month now, all downloads and streaming are cut off unless we pay extra to have the tap turned back on. Off the top of my head, that's about £10 for an extra 5 gig, which would only last another few days. The next payment up from that is about £30, that's about $47, so it really would cost us a fortune if we decided to go down that route. At the time of recording, it's June 2015, and we exceeded our monthly bandwidth with about 3 weeks to go until it resets on the 1st of July. This means that no one can listen to or download Aftermath through our RSS feed, and that is of course where all the podcast directories like iTunes, TuneIn and Stitcher are pulling it from. Remember, there's thousands of shows out there. So when people can't download or listen to Aftermath, they probably won't keep coming back and trying again. There's plenty more podcasts and audio dramas available. So think of all the potential listeners that we lose out on each month. We learned the hard way here, so when we set this show up, the audio drama production podcast, we decided to host it with Libsyn. This means paying a small monthly fee, which can be as little as $5 a month. But the service has been excellent, great stats, great support, and most importantly, unlimited downloads. Libsyn are also the first, and at the time of recording, the only media host to have partnered with Spotify. And all podcasts hosted with Libsyn will soon have the opportunity to get their shows on there in front of potentially millions of listeners. Whenever we're asked about media hosting for new audio dramas now, we always recommend Libsyn. It made sense then to apply to join their affiliate programme, which I'm pleased to say we now have. So what does this mean for you? Well, if you're starting a show and want to avoid making the same mistakes we did, you can use the promo code ADPP to get a free month's hosting with Libsyn. That's ADPP, the initials of the Audio Drama Production Podcast. If you'd like any more information on this, go to audiodramaproduction.com/support or drop us an email at support@audiodramaproduction.com and we'd be happy to answer any questions you might have. And please check out Libsyn's own podcast, The Feed. It's a great show about podcasting and contains loads of really valuable information. I never miss an episode. Right then, it's time for me to hand you over to Brian Lincoln, who's sent in a nice wee piece about characters' inner voices in audio drama. Not only is Brian a great audio drama producer, he's also a very clever man with a PhD. Take it away, Brian.
Hello, audio drama production podcast chaps. This is Brian Lincoln, producer of Hidden Harbor Mysteries and the eventually upcoming show Relative Worlds. I wanted to make people aware of an episode that I just released of my podcast called The Fullcast Podcast, which has really been a behind-the-scenes podcast for all kinds of Fullcast stories, which only recently I've decided to go full in and include audio drama in Fullcast. Before that, it really was focused on Fullcast audiobook type productions. But one of the things that I'm doing right now in that show is sort of a change of structure. Rather than being interview centric for a while, what I'm doing is I am putting in sessions where I talk through some choices that I have to make while putting a show together. And that's things like deciding on certain kinds of sound effects, deciding on certain kinds of voice effects, certain choices that you have to make early on in production that once you set them in stone, you have to stick with them because you can't change it anymore. So more choices that will be consistent throughout the show rather than one specific isolated scene that has its own challenges is what I would focus on. My hope is that It will be instructional to some people, give them a sense of what kinds of things to think about early on in a production. I had considered putting that together and sending the whole lot of it over to this show to play, but it's, I don't know, 45 minutes long. It's a bit long to just drop into this one. So what I figured I'd do is give you a really, really quick, dirty version here. And you can go over to the Fullcast podcast if you want and listen to sort of the step-by-step process of putting it together. What I wanted to do in this case was put together the sound effect for an inner voice. So it's a species where there is a voice in their heads that is consistent across a family. So it's not an imaginary voice. It's an actual physical voice, a separate intelligence that can talk to everyone within a single family. I call it a seer guide. That's a very major element to the story I'm putting together. But the point is that in order to bring that forward in a show, I needed to have a really cool sounding inner voice. In the episode that you'll find over in my feed, it takes just a little blurb that I had the actor read in character, and I just process it step by step. All I'll do here is give you a sense of beginning to end that I got, and then I'll do one more thing, which I think is pretty cool. So first, if I was going to go as quick and dirty as possible for an inner voice, and I was just going to use a delay effect, then this is what you would get. And in a lot of cases, especially if it's somebody just imagining something or talking to themselves, this might be all you need. And that's just a delay effect, which you can do with a delay plugin, or what you can do is just copy the same waveform into a second channel and just shift it over slightly in time so it's playing twice, slightly out of sync. So this is the quick and dirty way. I'll play first the original, and then I'll play the slightly delayed version.
I call myself Udandu. I'm a new kind of seer guide. If I had a singular goal, it would probably be to find out what it is like to control a body, to walk around a room without having to threaten or beg or suggest it. I am luckier than others of my kind. I can see through anyone. I call myself Udandu. I'm a new kind of seer guide. If I had a singular goal, it would probably be to find out what it is like to control a body, to walk around a room without having to threaten or beg or suggest it. I am luckier than others of my kind. I can see through anyone.
So that's not what I'm doing for my show, but that is a quick and easy way to do something like that. I like that better than a full reverb, because reverb really in an audio drama is supposed to really give you a sense of the shape of the room. And if it's in your head, you don't really want to have it feel like a room the same way. Okay, so then what I did was I went through a whole series of steps involving the program Isotope Nectar. Nectar 2, actually, followed by Isotope Alloy 2. These are paid programs, but I go through step-by-step what they're doing, so you don't necessarily have to buy them to be able to emulate what I did. But here is the same thing before and after when I went all in with the stuff that I had.
I call myself Udandu. I'm a new kind of seer guide. If I had a singular goal, it would probably be to find out what it is like to control a body, to walk around a room without having to threaten or beg or suggest it. I am luckier than others of my kind. I can see through anyone.
Okay. Now, the interesting thing, and I also had to add an addendum at the end of the episode that I produced on Fullcast, because one thing that I learned very quickly in this process is you can make something sound really cool in isolation, but once you drop it into a scene, you might find that it's not working exactly the way that you thought it would fit into the big picture. So what I did was I took, since this is an ongoing project, I only have certain lines in so far. They're not necessarily even the final takes for everything, because there's a process of actors being able to listen to scenes and resubmit lines. Since actors will be able to retake lines they're not happy with, I don't want to play too much. because everything could change. I don't have any of the Foley work in. I don't have any of the music or real sound effects in, but just playing around with the voices a little bit, putting them together and just seeing how things are lining up and whether this voice sounded like it was an inner voice. I felt like it was a little bit too distorted, and I felt like it was a little bit too echoey for the effect I was really going for based on what I just played you. So as a last step, what I did was I corrected a problem where the pitch down that I was doing initially was something I needed to use a different plugin entirely. I used Antera's mutator, which gave me a much cleaner, less distorted pitch shift than I was getting from the Isotope one. And in addition to that, I really toned down the delay and the reverb that I had going on in the Isotope Nectar 2 set that I was using. So in all of that, I was able to tweak it to a way that I felt it sounded a little bit better in the scene. So let me play the scene for you with what I had initially set up where I wasn't quite happy. That's this one.
Don't try to come in. I have something inside me. It's not safe.
What are you talking about? Are you hallucinating?
I don't know.
I'm here. I can't access the room. Dr. Blackstone, talk to me. What's happening in there?
Make yourself comfortable, Madeline.
Okay.
You're going to tell me everything you know about this ship.
Okay, and here's the scene, the same scene where I tweaked it, I fixed the pitch, and I fixed, turned down some of the reverb and stuff like that.
Don't try to come in. I have something inside me. It's not safe.
What are you talking about? Are you hallucinating?
I don't know.
I'm here. I can't access the room. Dr. Blackstone, talk to me. What's happening in there?
Make yourself comfortable, Madeline.
Okay.
You're going to tell me everything you know about this ship.
So you can go over to the Full Cast podcast if you want to hear a detailed version of how all this was put together. I also want to encourage any feedback. If somebody has comments or ideas based on what they hear me doing there, if you hear a step that you felt was strange or not explained well, maybe we can talk about it a little bit. I think one of the things about this process and putting together a big, long, serialized show is that once you figure out what the right kinds of effects and filters and plugins and whatever you want to call them are, you can set them and pretty much use them for the rest of the show. So there's a lot of upfront work to make sure everything fits together right. And then once it's established, as long as you save your settings and all that, it should become much, much faster, because from that point on, you know, maybe you're playing with the reverb in a room, or maybe you're playing with a scene-specific issue. But the grander ideas are set. For example, in that sound, in that clip where, let me just credit the actors, Tanya Milosevic played the woman, the doctor character talking over the radio was Jim Patton, and Tom Vail plays Udandu. And the radio voice there is just one of my, one of the presets I can get from Alloy 2. And I was pretty happy with the way that sounded. So unless I decide that there's something wrong with that, I've figured out my radio effect for the show. Whenever people are talking through the comm system they have on this spaceship, because it's a sci-fi. So anyway, that's really what I wanted to get across and maybe generate some discussion about is, since I'm at the beginning of my process, I'd love to hear from people what some of the choices they feel they have to make. Maybe there's something I'm oblivious to that I'll realize halfway through that I should have addressed earlier. So I would ask the open question to the community, what kinds of things do you feel you need to decide on first when you're putting a serialized show together in terms of the soundscape? And I know it's going to vary based on genre and all that, but I wouldn't say it needs to be a sci-fi specific answer. I'm just curious what kinds of things people think about, or if they're in a show, well into doing a show right now, what do you wish you had established early on? I think that would be a very interesting discussion that would be useful to producers, because I think you can save yourself a lot of time and effort if you start off firmly with things set up very well. Put that effort in up front. I think you can have a much easier time of putting a show together in a more timely fashion. So that's all I got. Thanks for putting this podcast together, guys. I am impressed by how many topics you keep coming up with that I'm just, ooh, I'd love to hear about that. Seems to be again and again. I'm like, just every time you put a show out, I'm racing to go listen. So you guys are doing a really good job, definitely in my wheelhouse and in a lot of people's. So keep it up. And yeah, I hope that this kind of example is useful for your audience. Take care.
Thanks to Brian Lincoln for that informative piece, and you can check out his work at lincolnaudio.com, as well as the usual other venues like iTunes and so on. I'm just having a look through the mailbag here, and I see an email from Domine de Groot, and you'll know Domine, of course, from the Witch Hunter Chronicles, and he had this to say. Hi guys, I'd be interested in hearing your take on the art of listening to audio drama as well. I think the way we take in the medium has a big influence on our experience of it. For example, I remember listening to a horror show while working in the garden in broad daylight, and a lot was lost that way, unfortunately. I used to listen a lot in bed with my eyes closed. The darkness really fires up the imagination. I also like listening to audio drama in the evenings. Unfortunately, limited time forces me to listen mostly during the day now. I wonder how other people experience the medium, what works for them and what doesn't. As usual, terrific show. Greetings from Belgium, Domine. Well, thanks, Domine, and I have to say, I feel your pain. I like to do most of my listening at night in bed as well, but I always fall asleep eventually. My other listening opportunities are when I'm doing housework or when, well, if I'm walking home from work. I'd agree that the listener's setting is bound to have an effect, not just on the quality of the sound, like with driving, but also the experience as a whole. And if you, dear listener, have got any thoughts on that yourself, let us know on the Facebook group, Audio Drama Production Podcast, or send an email to podcast@audiodramaproduction.com. Now, you'll remember recently I spoke to Mr. Jay Sykes, an old pal of mine from university. If you do, you'll know he went to New York recently as a nominee in their radio festival. Here's the trailer for his audio drama, Seaburn.
In the years after Mum died, Dad used to take me out to Pegwell Bay. This is where I come to escape.
I don't really have anyone now. Not anyone close to me, aside from Sam, but he...
Look, this time, instead of going to the beach after work, why don't you just come home?
To our wives and sweethearts, may they never meet.
May they never meet.
I'm sorry.
Becky?
You've got Sam. I shouldn't have...
Kiss me again?
You wanted me to see a therapist.
Yes. Yes, I did, and I still
I can't believe I made you cheat. That was wrong.
The old Pippa.
Yeah, my girlfriend, before she went crazy.
You don't get to call me crazy. That's not a privilege you can have.
I don't want it anymore. I don't want it.
I shall no more to see to sea, or I shall die ashore.
Seaburn is a dark British psychological drama written and produced by Jay Sykes and starring Chloe Gosling. You can listen to Seaburn online by visiting soundcloud.com/JSykesMedia, or if you want to find out more about the producer, you can visit facebook.com/JAYSYKESMEDIA.
Well, Jay was awarded gold for his efforts, so a massive congratulations to him. We've agreed to catch up soon to discuss his big win, but in the meantime, you can listen to the whole thing at jsykesmedia.wix.com/Seaburn. Check the show notes for the link. A huge thanks to Scott Lamond of Good Podcasts for becoming one of the Knights of the Pledge. Yes, that's right. He's now pledging on Patreon in favour of this very podcast. Thanks to Scott, we're a step closer to being financially viable, and if you would like to help support us by pledging a small donation each month, go to audiodramaproduction.com/support. If you want to support us in other ways, why not leave us a review? 4 people did just that recently on iTunes, and I'll read them for you now. An Indispensable Resource by Richie Bway. Or Richie Boy, I'm not sure about that, but it's on iTunes, you'll see it there. The Audio Drama Production Podcast is a real joy. Matthew and Robert are providing an amazing and much-needed resource to the rapidly growing community of audio artists who produce, or are interested in getting started, in audio drama. Whether you are a producer, director, composer or voice actor, the ADPP will give you food for thought, inspiration and collective knowledge and experience. Another review here says, absolute top of their niche by CMAD788. As the hosts are fond of saying, podcast audio dramas are a niche of a niche. But for anyone looking to get into that world, this show is hands down the best resource I know of. Great info, discussions and all around enjoyable content. Great Show by D. Doer. I really enjoy these guys. I look forward to listening to more episodes. And the last one, Ready to Get Back in the Saddle by Double Dork Meter. Excellent name. He says, or she says, I've been slowly making my way back into audio drama after an involuntary extended leave, so it's been very nice to get reacquainted to the craft by listening to the Audio Drama Production Podcast. I have been very hands-on with learning by doing, but it's nice to find some tricks to help cut down on the learning curve. Keep up the great work, guys. So, the 4 of you that have left those reviews, all 5 stars, thank you very much. Any feedback at all, good or bad, is always most welcome. So, another audio clip for you now. It's for a new piece called Simple Harmonic Motion by Michael and Kat of Burning Brigid Media, and this is their first audio drama.
Shouldn't you be turning around?
Okay, switching to manual control.
Manual controls. Engaged.
Okay, watch closely, girl. This is how we begin the reversal arc.
Resolution? Your velocity and trajectory remain steady. Are you having a problem?
No, it's... The controls are unresponsive, ground control. Amy, run a diagnostic on the control systems.
Manual controls. Operational.
Run a diagnostic on the ship's thrusters, port and starboard.
Motive system. Operational.
Run a diagnostic on the hydrogen dispersal system.
Reaction mass dispersal system. Operational. Quantity of hydrogen. Matches recorded specifications.
Run a diagnostic on the diagnostic system.
Diagnostic system. Operational.
Resolution, I'll run a remote diagnostic. Stay calm.
We're all calm up here, ground control.
Any abnormalities on your morning checklist?
Negative, ground control. Amy, estimated time to PNR?
Disambiguate.
Point of no return.
10 minutes. 15 seconds.
I'm a learning driver.
Thanks to Michael for sending that clip in, and you can find out more at burningbridget.com. Links, as always, will be in the show notes. Thanks also to Robert, ever the newsreader when left to his own devices, probably because he does actually work as a radio presenter from time to time. Outside of audio, I work as a gardener, and you don't hear me pulling elements from that into the show. Right, just a couple of things before we wrap it up. As you might know, I've been doing some work for a podcasting company recently, and I've bought a screen capture program for recording tutorials. This got me thinking, if you're a beginner in the world of audio drama production, you might be interested in watching some video tutorials of various aspects of editing, multi-tracking and things like that. So if there's anything at all that you'd like me to make a video tutorial of, drop me an email at matthew@audiodramaproduction.com and I'll see what I could do. And finally, our listener survey is still open. If you've not filled that out yet, we'd really appreciate you taking 2 minutes to give us your thoughts and opinions on what you'd like to hear in future episodes. A link to that will of course be tattooed on my forehead and uploaded as a selfie on Instagram. and I'll stick it in the show notes too. Right, you, have a lovely week, enjoy yourself, don't work too hard, but make sure you do just enough to avoid being fired.